All right, First Samuel chapter number 8, and we'll get started. First Samuel chapter number 8, and I know it's after potluck, so I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet. Little backstory here. I think when Pastor was in the hospital, we kind of went through First Samuel chapter by chapter. So it starts off, you know, with Hannah and Eli. Or Hannah and Samuel. Eli has horrible sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Eli's not restraining them. They bring out the Ark of the Covenant. They say, the Ark will save us. They have faith in it. Eli dies. Hophni and Phinehas get slain. The Ark gets taken. The Ark of the Covenant gets taken. The Philistines take it. They get the golden emeralds. I handled that as delicately as I could that one day. Some of you remember that. We're going to move right along. We're not going. We're moving right through that. Right? Then First Samuel chapter 7 happens. It's probably, in my opinion, I think it is definitely my most favorite chapter in all of First Samuel. I take this chapter way above I do David and Goliath. Hands down. First Samuel chapter 7, I mean, one of the greatest revivals there in history where Samuel's teaching them how to get right with God, and then they hear God that thunders from a great thunder that up from heaven. They all get right. They go from fasting to fighting, and God delivers all the Philistines in their hand. And then the very next chapter, they go, we don't want nothing to do with God. We want a king. And you're like, what happened? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's endless stories, and I mean, you could literally just go forever on just what happened. We could tell illustration after illustration of just what you did wrong. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to try to get through this a little quick and maybe relate it a little bit to my ordination and make it a little bit personal that you just, you know what? Don't ever look at man for your faith. I am not that person. I'll help you out as much as I can. I'll pray for you. So will Pastor. But there's a God. Amen. That's in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And He's the King of Kings. And He's the Lord of Lords. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So Father, I just pray, Lord, you bless this message. Lord, you bless this book. Lord, it's perfect. We could just read the book and say it was well said. Father, I just pray for this time, Lord, these thoughts that you've given me, Lord, that I just given them to thy people, Lord, that we just take you all the much more serious, Lord, and look to you all the much more, be strengthened in your power, Lord, in your might, and your Holy Ghost, Lord, and just thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord, and what a friend we have in him. And I pray for this time to be blessed for your name's sake, in Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Samuel chapter number 8. And it says, and it came to pass that when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel and unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, but they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And we went through all that of how his boys, how I believe were just, we went through all that. You guys remember that. So verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works that which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly. And that's the Lord right there. Unto them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep and he will, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because your king which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also might be like all the other nations and the other kings, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. So I pretty much, I kind of struggle with a title. I don't really have a title, but it'd be something like, careful what you ask for. you know what I mean? Yeah. Or maybe it's not what you expected. Because I'm going to get into that. That's kind of what it is. Or false expectations. They say, you know what, this king, he's gonna help us. Well, that really wasn't the case. You know. Verse number 4, it says, then all the elders of Israel, let me get a drink here. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came unto Samuel to Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king. You know, these people are discontented and discontent in verse number 4 because of Joel and Obadiah. Because of verse number 3, and his sons walked not in his ways but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. You know what? They said they wanted a king. They weren't happy with these guys' ways. You know, we don't want your boys, Samuel. Even though because they're unrighteous. Verse number 3. They're choosing the gold over God. Perverted judgment, filthy lucre, took bribes. They're hurting people instead of helping them. There's some preachers that are like that. Get up and just want to just destroy you. God help them. Especially you in a congregation, you need some help and somebody just want to hurt you. But they're taking the bribes over the book. They're not keeping the statutes and the commandments. Joel and Obadiah. And you know what? People take note of that when you're authority and you're in leadership. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher, or you're a pastor, or you're anybody that's in a leadership role, a manager, they know. Why is this guy in charge? Look what he's doing. Everybody. And if you're not looking at somebody that's in a position, say, well, why is he doing it that way? Not to be, pull them down, not to hurt them, but say, okay, I think we're doing this the right way. I think this is right. I don't want to be led by the blind. Amen. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to question everything, but I remember Tim Shanks. It was with you. Tim Shanks, we all got, because of you. You got, anyhow, maybe I'll just keep on. He got lost. We got lost on that blue guy, on that blue meeting, we went up to Blue Lake. And Pastor Tim Shanks, he goes, Dan Gookin was right there and he goes, I don't know where my car is, but I know it's that way. And I'm just sitting there looking. I go, and I know Dan's serious. Dan is very analytical. And I believe Dan 100% that his car was that way. And I knew it. I believe Dan's car was that way. And Tim goes, okay, well, I think we should go this way. And I went, wait a second. Dude, I've heard you from the pulpit preach. How many times you got lost in the woods? All right. I mean, let's just be real here for a second. You know what I mean? Buddy, you said you had a shorter leg. You walk around in circles and you get lost in your own woods. You hunt there all the time. Dan's never once told a story. He got lost in the woods. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, you know, you gotta have, I'm gonna question him. Right then I kind of felt like a jerk a little bit, you know what I mean? But I'm just like, hey, you admitted you get lost. Dan said, and I remember I looked over Dan and go, I'll go with you. I said that in front of him. And I questioned him. I says, he goes, well, we'll go this way. I said, well, what are you going to do once you get up there and we get the road? He goes, well, we'll figure that up there. And I was just like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You know what I mean? And then he looks at me and this is what he said. He goes, you don't like that, do you? And I said, no, I don't. I said, but because you're the pastor, I'll go with you though. I mean, kind of a jerk kind of saying, but you know what? That put the pressure on him. And I got a pretty good, decent, I don't get lost in the woods. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not looking for a challenge on that. You know what I mean? I'm really not. Fear of the Lord right there, man. I remember we was walking this way and I'm like, and I still know Dan said his car's that way. And so we're walking this way. And all of a sudden, you know, we're coming back. I go, okay, we're kind of heading back in that direction. We're climbing up this hill and we look out over there and Tim goes running out on that pass to look out there and he goes, I see Dan's car. It's way down there. And I just said, praise the Lord. That's all I said. You know what I mean? But it's not wrong to question authority, by the way. And if anybody's ever going to be in a role of authority, you better be able to answer a question. I got no problem answering questions. Pastor's got no problem answering questions. People are watching. They watch Joel and Obiah. They pay attention to what they say, what they do. And here they're asking for a king. You know, it's a lordship leader, which you don't want until Christ comes. Amen. Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. You don't want a lordship leader or a manager. I mean, man, there is some. Let me take that back. I'm just going to keep going. Lordship leader. It says that he will reign. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11 of chapter 8, number 11. It says this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. You know what? That's for himself. Yeah. That's for himself. Careful of that. Whatever he wants, he's going to take them for. Mm-hmm. Verse number 12, and he will appoint his captains over thousands and camped it over his fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. You know, they're appoint and set them. There's no choice in this matter, by the way. This is where we got our draft. You're going to go fight. You serve, you fight his war, and you're going to fight for him. Verse number 13, he will take your daughters to be his confectioners and be cooks and to be his bakers. You know what? He's just going to take. I notice this word take just comes in here a lot. I notice it's not the word follow. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. You know what he's going to take? He's going to take your farm and give it to somebody else. Verse 15, he will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give them to his officers and to his servants. He's going to give all that to his servants. Verse number 16, and he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to work. He's going to take the best you got for his work. Not yours, his work. Verse number 17, and he will take the tenth of his sheep, and there's another 10%. Starting to sound like the government. And I could probably go off, it really is. And I could really go off and probably on a tangent right now about taxes and this and that, but I don't think that'd be beneficial to anybody here. Amen. But he takes everything. The king takes everything for himself for his bidding. And you know what? He's not even going to ask. He's just going to take it. Verse number 18, and they shall cry out in that day because of the king which ye shall have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. You know what? This is what the people wanted over them. They agreed to this. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us.
That's what they wanted over him. I mean, just after all that was said, you're like, wow. Like I said, how do you go from chapter number 7 to chapter number 8 and say, man, that sounds like a good deal? And just, what? Who's the voice of reason in here? But it's because they looked over there at Joel and Abiah and they said, you know what? These guys are doing wrong. This other guy is going to be better. But they was wrong. We know how the story goes. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter number. Just remember this though. They said, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Let's look at their king that they get. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 52. And keep in mind, I'm not going to try to put down Saul. I have no intention of doing that. He for surely was a psychopath there at the end. There's no doubt about it. But he didn't start out that way. He didn't start out that way. He was God's chosen man. God did give him the goodliest. Proverbs chapter, or excuse me, 1 Samuel chapter 14, 52. It says, and there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he what? He took him. Look at First Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 11. 17, verse number 11. It says, and Saul and all in Israel heard those words of the Philistines. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. This was supposed to be the king that's going to go out and fight their battles for them. Verse number 24. And all the men of Israel went. When they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel, verse number 25, have you seen this man that has come out? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Sounds like a bribe to me. Just remember, we just looked over at Joel and Abiah, though. They took bribes, perverted judgment. Maybe this is called an incentive bonus and not a bribe. I don't know. we could debate about words, I guess, all we wanted, but it sounds like a bribe to me. He's bribing them to do something. He clearly didn't have he was a lordship leader. David, on the other hand, look at 1 Samuel chapter 22. Verse number 1. It says, now First Samuel chapter number 22 and verse number 1 says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard of it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. You notice how nothing in there says he took anything? Nothing's took. Notice also he didn't get the best of the best. But if you're ever going to do what David did, you don't want the best of the best. You're going to want some people that's going to get dirty. And that's what David got. And it says they went down thither to him. You know what they followed? He had an influence. He inspired people. They said, you know what? They said, God's with that guy. You can't tell me when David wrote those Psalms. Because when he gets down there, when the Amalekites, they sacked Ziklag and they stole his wife and they stole all that stuff. It was only the men of Belial that went over there and defeated all those people. And David said, no. And then said, we're keeping all the spoil for ourselves. And David said, no, you're not. You're going to split this with the other ones that couldn't go across the brook either. And you can't tell me that he didn't have an influence over those guys. They said, buddy, we were just going to stone you. We'll kill you now. You're all by yourself. That didn't happen. You don't read that in the Bible. David said it, and that was so. And it goes on. Anyhow, that was not in there, but he had that inspired people. They knew, you couldn't tell me, even when we're further into this, that he'd sing them songs like he'd play for Saul. And those men of Belial wouldn't sing them with him. Influence he had. You couldn't convince me of that. But Saul, verse 22 and verse number 6, this is the story when David goes in and gets the sword and the bread. And then Saul wants to kill David. And it says in verse number 6, when Saul heard that David was discovered, then the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servant that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you his fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, that there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me? Or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as this day? It's perverted judgment. Same as Joel, same as Abiah. I'm just saying, careful what you ask for. You might think you get something better. I think my brother-in-law said it first. I never heard that saying before, but the grass is always greenest on top of the dung pile. It really is, you know. Be careful. He's bribing him here. Or it's an incentive bonus. Tell me what you had and I'll give you a vineyard. Where's he at, guys? You want to be a captain of the thousands? And nobody's saying nothing. Samuel's sons were the same thing. Took bribes. Perverted judgment. Am I making sense? But verse number 9. Then answered Doeg. Man, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. Then Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob and to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. Is that right? Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. You know what this Doeg, he's either a captive or he's a traitor. He's not an Israelite. He's pretty much an enemy. But he's like, you know what? I just got an opportunity to kill some of you people that I hate. A wolf in sheep's clothing, so to speak. Except everybody knows he's a wolf. He's just, fangs are out. They know it. But he's inspired by this lucre. Inspired by the bribes. The money and thoughts have all this adverse number. So that sounds pretty good. And in verse number 12, it says, then Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, and here am I, my lord. And Saul said to him, why have ye conspired against me that thou and the son of Jesse, and that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, and that he should rise against me to lie in wait at this day? And Ahimelech answered the king and said, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not God impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for the servant knoweth nothing of all this, less or more. He said, buddy, he's your son-in-law. You remember you gave him to that when he fought David, when he beat Goliath? You said that. That's the things by your mouth. You said he was going to get your daughter, so he's your son-in-law. He came over here and inquired of the Lord for me. Am I going to deny the things of the king's son-in-law? Like, look, I don't know what's going on between you and him. That's less or more right there. I don't know what's going on between you, but don't pull me into your little family problems. Oh, king, please live forever. Right? You know what I mean? I mean, that's,
That's it. Saul's perverted judgment. And he didn't like the truth. That was the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And the king said unto the footmen, verse number 16, and the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. I mean, that's crazy. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also was with David, and because they knew him when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. Those are Israelites. They're like I said, lordship leading. You ain't got no influence. Man, he's a king, man. You just disobeyed the king? Like, buddy, do you realize what you're asking? And the servants would not. Verse number 18, the king said to Doeg, I hate that guy, man. I really do. I hate that guy. Turn now and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. But Doeg just goes on a killing spree. The enemy of the Lord does that for the soul to be God's king. I'm just false expectations, taking bribes, perverted judgment, lucre. Now look, this is who, and you might find somebody, but this is who Saul inspired.
Yeah.
Doeg.
Right.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible. I mean, it says Doeg was the chiefest of the herdmen. You know what that is? That ain't a shepherd.
Right.
It's not a shepherd. But, and he goes through and he kills all those people. And David wrote after this thing in Psalms chapter 52. You can write that down if you're, it's pretty neat. But he did Psalms chapter 52, and he says this about Doeg. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise him for thee. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is a good, for it is good before thy saints. It's crazy to think that all that. And he'd write that, and those people would just think on that. Those sons of Belial. And his other servants, his mighty men. Turn back there to 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I'll say this in closing. I don't ever want to inspire a Doeg. Like I said, I'm getting ordained next week. Verse number 5. And they said to him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. You know what? I never want to be the excuse you didn't search for God first. Did that make sense? I never want to be that person. I never want to be the excuse you didn't want anything to do with God. If you look at Mike Nemeth, you're fixing to get let down. You know, I guarantee you at some point, if you stay here long enough, and if I haven't already, you'll say, Brother Mike, let me down. You just had to remind me of the blackberries I told you I was going to give you. Thank you, and I apologize. God ain't never let me down.
Right.
And God will never let you down.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
He should always be the one that's ruling in your life. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. And ye shall cry out in the day because your king which ye shall have chosen you and the Lord will not hear you in that day. You know what? I want nothing more than for you to cry out to God and for Him to hear you.
Yeah.
Don't come to me first. Does that make sense?
Right.
There's a God up in heaven that'll answer your prayers.
Amen.
If you got a question, you usually can ask Him. And if you pray about it and you really mean it with all your heart, you can go to the God in the Bible and He'll answer you.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. You know what happens when you start going to man every time for all your answers? That verse never takes place and you never get that trust that you should have in the Lord. You start having your trust in man and that should never happen. I do not want to be that person. It's got to be real.
Yeah.
God is a without faith, it is what?
Impossible
to please God. But He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Yeah.
Proverbs 3:5-6, He goes right with that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep going. I told you I'd make it short and sweet and I'm not. You want your confidence in God,
yeah,
not in man. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and we'll just... And I already went through all that backstory, you know what I mean? Of how this all plays. And you get to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Samuel was missing there for a while. He goes from this teenager and now all of a sudden he's like kind of the one in charge. And you know what Samuel does? I love this about Samuel. This is what Samuel says. This is Samuel. And Samuel spake unto 1 Samuel chapter number 7, verse number 3. And Samuel says, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. You know what? There's a God up in heaven that'll change your heart. You change your heart and you fix it upon Him and He's gonna listen.
Yeah.
He did for me.
Amen.
And all my wickedness. And all my sinful behavior and all of my life, He puts up with a wretch like me. Verse number 6. And they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. Amen. That's a great realization. Don't ever forget you're a sinner. Amen. Thank you, Gary. You know, don't forget it.
Yeah.
Don't forget I'm a sinner. God's not, by the way.
Right.
You go to Him. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
He'd do it every time.
Yeah.
We shouldn't keep going as, and I get it, you know what I mean? We're looking at the qualifications of just being a pastor. I'm up to the realization ain't nobody qualified as of this point. It says being blameless. What's blameless means? It means innocent of wrongdoing. Well, moving right along. Samuel was teaching him, you know what? Get your hearts right with God. You're a sinner. Verse number 10. I sometimes weep when I read this. I'm going to try not to. It says, and Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. Or excuse me, back up to verse number 9. 8. It gets even better. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord for God for us, for He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. There's your salvation, right? And here's your salvation. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. You just think about how that took place. When that burnt offering of the lamb is taking place, and they're all looking and they're watching the lamb. Typology there, Son of God.
being slain, the enemy's coming near, and right then the clouds just go boo-boosh with all that thunder. And they say, God's with us! And it's a great realization when you know that and you start hearing God in your life rather than getting it from a man. Back in the day, they heard that shout and it was, oh, the earth rang and they heard that shout. And that's good, but God wasn't in it. But when you hear that thunder that come down from heaven and you get that confirmation that the Lord's with you, can I tell you right now, there ain't nothing more better than that.
Yeah.
And I said that perfectly just like that, mo better. You know what I'm saying? It's a great thing when you hear God.
Yeah.
Amen, but you got to listen.
Yeah.
Speaking on this, I'll just tell this story and I'll be done. I went there to preach in Prineville last Sunday. Drove up around the mountains. Was praying about what to preach. I was already going to preach one sermon. Pastor John asked me to preach this one sermon on the lion. You know what I mean? Because I was talking to him about fellowship and being, you know, fellowship with him and talking about that cougar. Well, I had something totally different I was going to do for Sunday school, but the Lord was kind of talking with the Lord, fellowship and thinking on verses, meditating. And he kind of brought to my heart that, listen, I did that one sermon years ago. And then Dan came up with the one afterwards on Saul. And why'd all that happen? Why? I don't know. But as I'm going through that listen, I finally had peace about it. This is what I'm going to preach on. I've prayed about it. Sunday morning gets around. I text off my devotion to John and he sends back his devotion. I've went through all my notes. Everything, it's a done deal. This is what I'm preaching. This is Sunday school. This is what I'm doing. You know what his devotion was? Listen and watch. Sunday school's title of the sermon is Listen. Last verse I'm going to preach in the main service is watch. Ephesians 6:18. Praying, watching. Can I tell you that right there just was just like it, when God just speaks with you.
Yeah.
And you get that confirmation that, you know what, this is what I'm supposed to be preaching.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know this.
Right.
So I told him all this later, you know what I mean? And we talked for about 40 minutes as I'm driving down the road, blah, 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 blah. The next Monday, that was Sunday evening, Monday, he gets a track from a missionary and a prayer letter. And you know what the track's titled? Why not listen? It's good when you hear from the Lord.
Amen.
When you get alone, you pray with God and you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on unto thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Mm-hmm. It don't make sense to preach this listen one first. You just trust me, buddy. Just trust me, Mike. Okay, Lord. Okay. And be obedient. But not putting your faith in man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what happens when you take your eyes off God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I never want to be the one who replaces God in your life.
Yeah.
I'll help you out any way I can. I will pray for you. Side by side, I'll weep with you. I've wept with many of you. I've prayed for all of you. But there's a God. And he's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. And I'm just a sinful man. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all these believers. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Lord, help us, Lord, just to be ever mindful about it, Lord. And just, Lord, just search for your strength, Lord, your truth every day in our lives, Lord. May we remember you. May we give you all the honor and all the glory you deserve. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.